Hi, well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Vincent Duffy. I'm the news director at Michigan Radio. Thank you for coming out tonight. Got some pretty nice weather outside, so we're glad that you're inside with us. For tonight's Issues and Ale, we're going to be talking tonight about a series that Michigan Radio did in collaboration with the Center for Public Integrity and the Center for Investigative Reporting on the amount of arsenic that can be found in water in Michigan, and particularly in people's wells, and why not really is not a lot is being done about that at the state level. The partnership produced a lengthy segment on the investigative reporting program Reveal that you could hear on Michigan Radio, and also a five-part series that we had on the environment report and a number of stories that that remain on our website. So this evening we have an opportunity to hear more about the issue. You'll also have an opportunity to ask everybody questions about this. This is going to be fairly informal, so if you have a question during the presentations or at any time, just raise your hand. Kristen over here will bring a microphone up so that everybody can hear you. But what we don't need to do is, you know, half an hour of us talking and then half an hour of Q&A. Just if you have a question, raise your hand, and we'll get to you right away. So I would like to introduce the folks that we have here with us tonight, though. At the end down there is Rebecca Williams. She is a Michigan radio reporter and producer for the Environment Report on our station. The program has won all sorts of national awards and regional awards, and you can hear it on Michigan Radio Tuesdays and Thursdays on Morning Edition and on All Things Considered. Next to her is Ben Adair, and Ben is a producer with the Center for Investigative Reporting, and he co-founded the Reveal program last year, and its goal is to create a 21st century media property that brings together broadcast and digital and mobile and social media all around the world's best investigative reporting. And before that, Ben worked at all sorts of public radio outlets, including Marketplace and American Public Media and a program called Weekend America. And then new to our panel tonight is James Clift. James is the policy director for the Michigan Environmental Council. The council is an umbrella organization for more than 70 environmental, public health, faith-based organizations located across Michigan. And they work in a variety of areas, including resource protection and public health, land use, and energy. So let's give a quick welcome to our panelists tonight, being brave enough to talk. As we start, I want to just take a quick poll of the folks here in the audience. Raise your hand if you are on well water, if your property is well water. Okay, so for the two of you, have you had your well tested for arsenic? When you bought the house, okay. All right, so but maybe not since then. Last night we were in Kalamazoo talking about this topic, and things are a little bit different in that county. Almost the entire room, we had about 30 people last night, raised their hand, they were on well water, and there was only one that had actually been tested for arsenic. So it was a little bit different situation in that county. But Ben, let's start with you and have you tell us why it is that Reveal picked this topic to investigate at a national level, this arsenic in the groundwater, and what it is that you found out in the course of your investigation.
Yeah, sure. So as part of Reveal, we're based out in California at the Center for Investigative Reporting, and we partner with different media outlets around the country. For this story, we partnered with Rebecca and Michigan Radio and also with the Center for Public Integrity, which is a D.C.-based investigative reporting nonprofit. And they really dig into the lawmaking process and what's going on in Congress, national level. And David Heath, the reporter there, he sort of came to us with a question like, hey, do you guys know what's going on with arsenic? And we're like, arsenic, what? Arsenic is like a poison from the Game of Thrones, right? Like, what's arsenic? And he's like, no, arsenic, there's all this new science about arsenic and how arsenic is actually much more toxic a poison than we ever knew. And it's this developing body of research, really, that started around the year 2000 and has been kind of going for the last 14 years. And it's showing arsenic, like I said, to be much more toxic. And the EPA has been trying to re-regulate arsenic and come up with a new drinking water standard for arsenic nationwide. And they've really been stymied by Congress. And what David's investigation found is that it's really just one member of Congress who's been able to prevent all this new science from being acted on by the federal government. And so that was immediately very, very interesting to us. He told us some really interesting, like the new science has come out is sort of fascinating and also shocking. Even at current levels, the current level I think is 10 micrograms
per liter or per billion.
10 parts per billion in your water. And even at that level, if you're drinking water with that legal level of arsenic in it, you have elevated cancer risk. There are other health risks, but primarily cancer is what we were focusing on. And there's a study that just came out from Columbia University that says if 100,000 people are drinking that water, 730 of them will come down with lung, bladder, or skin cancer. And that's at the legal limit. So it was immediately very shocking to us. And he said, you know, there are a couple of different ways that arsenic gets into drinking water. Arsenic is a naturally occurring element. It's like copper or hydrogen or whatever, or phosphorus in the soil. So there are some places where it naturally occurs at a higher level. Maine is a hot spot for arsenic. Michigan is also a hot spot for arsenic. It's also a toxin from industrial processes around mining, and it's also used as an ingredient in sort of a class of herbicides that have been mostly phased out but are still used in some distinct cases. So that's when we reached out to Michigan Radio and said, you guys, do you know that there's this huge arsenic situation here?
Well, I want to get back to this congressional situation a little bit later, but don't be polite. Who is this single congressman?
All right. So what we found through the investigation is that it's a congressman from Idaho, a guy named Mike Simpson, who has received thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from the chemical lobby, specifically a lobbyist for two different herbicide companies. And what he did was he was able to attach a single paragraph into a committee report attached to an appropriations bill. So this isn't anything that anybody in Congress voted on. It was simply like an advisory note attached to a bill that signaled to the EPA, don't continue with your research. We don't want you. We don't trust your research anymore, EPA. We want to kick this whole subject over to the National Academy of Sciences, which on its face sounds like, okay, you know, NAS is a very prestigious research body, but the whole point is just to delay any re-regulation of arsenic and just keep kicking it down the road indefinitely.
So, Rebecca, you did the series on what the situation is here in Michigan with arsenic, and what did you find?
So especially in the Thumb region of Michigan, we have some very high levels of arsenic, levels that are 5, 10, even as much as 20 times higher than what the EPA considers safe. But these are limits, these are levels in private wells, and so there's no regulation on private wells. And so if you have a well, it's entirely up to you to test it and to decide whether to treat your own water. That's one of the things that we found. And also we found that awareness of this has really fallen off the radar for a lot of people, and part of the reason why that seems to be is that the state is really not doing a whole lot to keep that in the public eye.
Well, so James, what is the state's responsibility with this issue? Do they have any at all?
Yeah, unfortunately, they have kind of punted this to county health departments. At the same time, they've kind of strangled their funding resources to address issues like this. So the person with a primary responsibility of is our water healthy to drink doesn't have enough money. You know, and my thought is, geez, if you found somebody with a well with an elevated level, it's pretty easy to go back from the records and figure out, okay, who else is on that aquifer about at that same level, and they should be contacting all the neighbors. But what you find out county health department after county health department is they don't have that sort of staffing ability, they don't have that sort of resources that they need to do the job.
So it's people's own responsibility then to test their wells in Michigan. How do you do that, and how complicated is it if you get a kit, and how expensive is it to fix the problem?
So you can test your own well for $16 or $18. You can get a test bottle sent to you from the state, and you can send that in, take a sample of your water, send it in, and they'll get it back to you apparently fairly quickly. And the treatment, though, can be more complicated, and we learned last night, especially from a USGS geologist, that if you have arsenic 3, which is what is mostly in the thumb, that's a lot harder to treat than arsenic 5, which is so it's a slightly different form, but it could be more complicated to treat it. But typically, reverse osmosis is what's recommended if you have relatively lower levels. There are some places, we filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the state, and we found that there are some places that have, some places that have such high levels in the thumb that, like the Lapeer County Press, has had levels as high as 283 parts per billion. So that's 28 times the federal accepted limit. That they would probably have to do several layers of treatment to get the arsenic out.
And what does it cost to get one of those reverse osmosis systems put into your well?
It could. I mean, what I've been told is somewhere between a couple $100s. It could be a little bit more. If you wanted to do whole house treatment, then it's thousands of dollars.
And I just want to add to that is that, you know, this having the well tested is just really good practice. You know, every 5-10 years, you know, there's a variety of things you can test for because arsenic, of course, is not the only threat out there. You know, it could be an old gas station in your neighborhood that has a leaking underground storage tank, or your neighbor's septic system has failed and there's bacteria in your well. So having a fairly simple test is a really nice preventative method you could take to make sure your family's protected.
Rebecca, you found a person who didn't realize that they should test their wells until they actually were sick because of arsenic, right? What are the symptoms?
So it's really hard, apparently, to find out if you have arsenic poisoning, and the doctors we talk to say the reason for that is that it mimics a lot of other things. So the symptoms can be things like vomiting, nausea, GI bleeding, headaches, weakness, tingling in your fingers and your toes. And so these things can be related to other things like diabetes. And so it can be hard to diagnose. And in this case, there's a woman, Renee Thompson, who was diagnosed with arsenic poisoning 20 years ago. And her whole family ended up having arsenic poisoning. And they all had slightly different symptoms. So it was really tough for people to figure out what was going on. And it actually took 13 doctors, and it wasn't until the 13th doctor that they found out what was going on with the family. And he found that out by doing a urine arsenic test and found out that her levels were higher than they should have been, even though at the time that was within the range of what was considered normal back then. But he just had a feeling that it was too high. And then they tested their well and found out that their arsenic levels were elevated, although at the time they weren't that much higher than what the EPA standard back then said was okay.
Yeah, just one other thing is that I've been talking to a lot of toxicologists. We're actually looking at cleanup standards for contaminated sites. And one of the messages that keep coming back up and back up is pregnant women. So women of that age that are either thinking about having children or you've become pregnant, that is a critical time because that is kind of your most susceptible time where these chemicals could impact your unborn child.
So we have a question in the back.
I just want to know, does fracking have an impact?
Yeah, so fracking in Michigan, we're relatively new to this game. We've fracked, you know, in the area of about 100 wells in Michigan, and so far we haven't seen any impact where a fracked well has impacted someone's groundwater aquifer. A lot of the stories you hear from around the country, Pennsylvania is kind of the nightmare of fracking because there's not very good separation between layers. They've got poor regulation, so they've had a number of aquifers contaminated by kind of the fracking industry. So far in Michigan, we're doing better, but we actually have a fracking rules up for public comment this week or next week. So we're trying to toughen the standards before they get to Michigan because of that concern.
One of the geologists that we had last night said that that the pressure that the fracking creates can, in some cases, remove or loosen arsenic that's in the sediment or in the rock. But then that gets pulled out with everything else that the companies, when they take the wastewater out. And so where that arsenic ends up depends upon what they do with that wastewater. But if the rules are followed, hopefully that won't end up in your wells. We have another question.
Anybody jump in. I'm thinking maybe Ben, but anybody. I'm thinking Michigan used to have a problem with arsenic that was related to the Northwest, and it had to do with the old pesticides that went on apples, but arsenic got phased out, and my understanding is it's not a problem in that part of the state. My question also is, historically, are there any problems going on in the UP related to the residual from the mining industry?
Sure. So the question was that historically there was concerns about arsenic in the northwestern part of the state because it was being put on the crops up there, and particularly apples, did you say? And then so that was the first question. If that was still a problem, what's happened with that situation? And then secondly, has there been any problem in the UP because of the mining that took place up there? So if I don't want to tackle those.
Well, so I spoke with the USGS geologist when I did the series, and I asked her about agriculture and pesticide use, and she didn't know a whole lot. There hadn't done a whole lot of specific studies looking at that, so I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if you have heard about that, James.
No, I saw some of the herbicides were focused on golf courses and some other uses, so it's not really what you'd expect. So I think it can kind of be anywhere. In a lot of places you wouldn't expect. Again, maybe a lot of golf courses that used to use this product still can, and that can be the source.
I mean, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I know that in apple orchards and grape vineyards and that kind of thing, you can have a problem with arsenic still in the soil because it was used in pesticides, and it doesn't go away.
So arsenic is, it's number one, it's naturally occurring, and most of the problem here in Michigan is with naturally occurring arsenic. I can't speak specifically about what's happening in the apple orchards that you mentioned, but it used to be much more utilized as an herbicide in agriculture, specifically cotton. It was used in cotton fields. So now we do have arsenic. You know, arsenic's in a lot of our foods. Arsenic's in beer. Arsenic is in rice.
Drink up.
And it's, you know, low levels aren't necessarily bad for you, right? But there is, again, developing research on all of this. And, when we're teaching, like, very young babies to eat food, we oftentimes give them rice cereal. And so the recommendations from the American Pediatrics Association has reduced the amount of rice cereal we should be feeding babies, specifically because of the arsenic concerns. And so a lot of the arsenic in rice comes from places with either naturally occurring arsenic, like Bangladesh, as a region has a lot of naturally occurring arsenic. And because the rice is grown sitting in water, the arsenic dissolves in the water, and then it gets into the rice. Rice paddies in the south, in the southern United States, has arsenic in it because a lot of times the rice is grown in former cotton fields. And so it's not used. It's not used in the production of food anymore. It is primarily used on as an herbicide on golf courses. So one place that has enacted very tough arsenic regulations around these herbicides is Naples, Florida. They were doing a lot of testing of the aquifer of the groundwater coming around Naples, Florida, and they discovered arsenic contamination rates at, I believe it was 12 or 13 times the legal limit. And they very quickly moved to ban these types of herbicides in Naples. The chemical companies that make them saw that happen. They were too slow to do anything about it, and they've really reacted very, very quickly from that point forward to prevent any other local municipalities from acting on the science and from actually doing anything to ban these herbicides. The thing that happened at the national level was that the herbicide companies actually came up with they signed an agreement with EPA to phase out these arsenic-laden herbicides. They signed the agreement in 2009. The herbicides were to be phased out by 2013, but the one rider they put in it was pending the EPA scientific review. So when Mike Simpson was able to insert that paragraph and cut off the EPA scientific review, it effectively tabled the agreement, and now these herbicides are still in use all over the United States.
So we've mentioned rice, and we've mentioned the beer, and sometimes the water. Apple juice is another place where you can sometimes find arsenic. So if there's a takeaway, it's that if you're on a well, to get it tested and make sure that is safe. How worried do we have to be about the food?
I recommend Consumers Union has done a really great resource page on arsenic with a lot of recommendations about what foods contain arsenic, what should be avoided at what stage of life, like if you're nursing versus pregnant versus, just a person like me, what you should avoid and what you shouldn't, what's safe, what's not safe. So I really recommend everybody go and look at that page on the Consumers Union website. So everybody has arsenic in their bodies. We all have arsenic in our bodies. Again, low levels, probably okay, but there is new research that says, even the levels that we think are safe right now are not safe, and it may even be far below them that actually are safe. So, like I said, it's sort of fascinating to me that the science on something as old as arsenic is evolving so rapidly at this point.
So we recommend that you continue to eat food and drink beer, though,
And, everything's a trade-off, and there are risks in everything you do, and I'm going to go order another beer after this panel.
Yes, ma'am.
My question, tap water versus bottled water, is it the same amount of arsenic?
Yeah, so it depends, basically, on where you've gotten your bottled water from. So sometimes your bottled water is just filtered tap water. But a lot of the major brands actually... Aquafina, Dasani, they've run the water through reverse osmosis. They've added a mineral packet back into it. So in theory, that should have removed the arsenic in that water. So again, it depends a little bit about where. And right now, there's very little regulation on what's in bottled water. So the government's not being very helpful in giving us guidance in that area.
But she also mentioned tap water. What if you're on municipal water, if you're on Ann Arbor water or Ypsilanti water?
So if you're on municipal water or if you're on a smaller public water source, so let's say a daycare, school, church, those places all have to meet the EPA standards. So they all have to meet this 10 parts per billion standard, and they are checked by the community health departments to make sure that they're in compliance.
So tap water should be okay?
Yes. Yes, although one of the things that there is debate about, as Ben mentioned, is that we're finding effects. Some of these the new science is finding some effects at lower levels than this EPA standard.
But Rebecca, didn't in your series you talked about some places that were like daycares and schools and things like that were on wells or on systems that had high arsenic in them. What are they doing?
So there are some places, about 36 places in Michigan, that are on bottled water agreements, and this is something that they're not allowed to do anymore. EPA has decided that they have to come off of this, and what this means is that they can serve bottled water instead of treating their water. And what we found out was that there are places that have some very high arsenic levels, and that some of these smaller places will have trouble paying for treatment because it can be really expensive if you have to treat for a large number of people. Or, for example, there is a Montessori school that has to put in 18 different reverse osmosis systems because they have little preschool-sized sinks, and they need a separate system for each sink.
Yes, a question.
Yeah, I think I heard you say on the radio this week that if you bathed or washed dishes, something like that, it was perfectly safe. It was drinking it that was the big problem?
So drinking and cooking are what... Right now, people, the experts say you really need to treat your water if you're on a private well with arsenic above 10 parts per billion. I did ask somebody at Dartmouth about this, and she's someone who studies effects at low doses. And then she said right now, the science seems to suggest that 300 parts per billion, so that's quite high, would be where you would want to not bathe in your water, not shower in it. But she did say, for now. So that's what they understand so far.
So there was a big push in the late 90s to inform people about this in Michigan, and there was a lot of discussion about it then. The problem hasn't gone away. Why is nobody talking about this anymore?
So I've been trying to find this out, and it seems like there's a really big difference depending on where you live. So some counties, because it falls to local health departments to tell people to test their wells, some places like Washtenaw County, Livingston, Ingham County, have some rules in place that tell you you have to test for arsenic when you put in a new well. There are point-of-sale programs when you sell your house in Washtenaw and Ingham where you have to test. But there are other places like Lapeer County and Genesee County where there are some very high arsenic levels where there are no regulations. And so that leaves it very much up to, if you just happen to hear about it, that you would have to then test. Also, there doesn't appear to be much going on at the state level right now to get the word out.
But James, tell us about that. Should the state be doing more, or have they dropped the ball on this?
Yeah, I think they have. I mean, and again, the Department of Community Health has a lot of health issues out there they're dealing with, but this one I think is pretty straightforward, and one where just an education campaign can have a pretty good impact of having people periodically test their well. And I think most people look at that amount, you know, $20, you know, maybe on the high end to have your water tested. That seems to be a pretty good kind of preventative measure. So I think the state could be doing more. Or, again, they want to pass it through to the county health department. It should become with sufficient resources to actually do the job.
But, Rebecca, you learned it can be a little bit difficult with the Michigan Department of Community Health to find somebody who will talk to you about arsenic, right?
Yeah, I tried to get an interview several times. We did get somebody on stateside this week, our talk show, and it was definitely not the right person. Didn't get any questions answered.
We have another question?
Let me see. Would you say more about the treatment if you do find your parts per million or high?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to address that, James? Do you know about treatment? Okay. I think that the main thing is what has been told to me is that for levels that are the most common in Michigan, so, you know, about 20, 30, 50, generally reverse osmosis will take out most of the arsenic. Kevin Holdwick is with the DEQ, and he's done a lot of treatment of arsenic systems in Michigan. And he said that if you are more like in the 100 to 200 range, then we're looking at special filters. They call them absorptive media, things, that, extra layers of treatment. The EPA has some good resources on treatment that you can check out, and all of this is on our website at michiganradio.org. Mark Brush, do you want to add anything since you did that online story? I don't know if I'm missing anything.
Yeah, it's a fairly simple fix. You add some filters to your water that can run, you know, on the low end, what, like $300-$400, on the high end, you know, $1,700-$1,800. So, like, the technology is easy. We have it. You can get it. It's just whether or not there's the awareness, and then it could be a small investment in order to keep your family safe.
So what if it's too late? What's the treatment if you have been, if not poisoned, at least made ill by arsenic? Do you get well just by removing it, or you stop ingesting it?
So the doctors we interviewed for this series who treat people who have arsenic poisoning have said that generally they just tell them to go on distilled water, drink distilled water, and they've seen improvement fairly quickly, usually within weeks or months. Some people do have to do something called chelation therapy, where they have heavy metal treatment to take the arsenic out of their system. The woman who we interviewed whose whole family was poisoned, she said to us that basically over a few weeks they started to feel better. And here 20 years later, occasionally she'll have some lingering skin problems because arsenic can cause changes in your skin. And her doctors are watching the whole family closely because arsenic is a carcinogen. And the EPA has found that it is actually a 17 times more potent of a carcinogen than they previously thought. So there are, that family in particular is worried about cancer.
A study by Joseph Graziano at Columbia University looked at arsenic in Maine, and we have him in the story on Reveal. And what they showed with children drinking water at that legal limit, it lowered their IQ points on average 6 IQ points. But it's unknown whether or not that's going to be a lasting effect, right? You start filtering for the arsenic. We just don't know. We haven't done the studies to follow up. Those are forthcoming.
Yes.
Right. So let me see if I understand this. I thought you said that arsenic enforcement, it's a state law, but it's enforced by the county health department. We certainly encountered it when we bought our house through the realtors, and I'm wondering if it's a state law, then it should be something that gets caught by all the counties. What did I not understand?
There's no state law that requires you to test for arsenic if you're on a private well. So the difference is there's a federal law, a federal rule. The EPA rule is what limits the amount of arsenic in public sources. So if you're on city water, that kind of thing. So there's a federal rule that then gets passed down to the Department of Environmental Quality at the state level to enforce it. And then they pass that responsibility on to the local county health departments, if that makes sense. So, but if you're on a private well, there are no rules.
Did it turn off? All right.
Here's my question. If somebody goes out, they're going to buy a house, they're part of the general public. If it's a private well, you're telling me that the EPA regulations, that the federal regulations that govern arsenic and water don't protect the general buying public?
Right. So if there, if you live in Washtenaw County or Ingham County, there are point of sale requirements that mean that you have to test for arsenic when you sell your house. If you live in any other county, to my knowledge, I don't think there are any besides those two that I found out, there are no requirements when you sell or buy.
So you're not covered by federal law?
No.
It's caveat emptor. It's buyer beware. And it sort of comes and goes. It's like right now, everyone, whether it's a danger or not, is up in the air. But everybody wants to know about mold when they buy a house, right? But they're not knowing everything that they need to ask about. And if you're buying a house that's on a well, you need to ask about the arsenic, because the buyer has, there's no rule or law that says that they have to disclose anything except whether the well works, right? So who, other than a seller, who else might benefit from not talking about this? Is there anybody else that would rather that this just not get talked about?
You want to take that one?
Well, I can say that, you know, some analogous areas in Michigan, which is your septic field. And we've been working for years to require septic fields be tested at time of sale. And it's the Realtor Association that comes in and has killed that bill every single time, because they're worried that, oh, that sale won't occur. So that's been our stumbling block at Michigan level. And I would expect it to be the same if we tried to move a bill that said you must test for arsenic. It'd be the realtors that we'd be up against.
We have a question back there?
Yeah.
Once you've incurred this $1,800 cost for treatment of your well, how frequently would you need to do this? Is it one time, or do you have to constantly check on an annual basis?
Well, and I think typically it's going to be more like a couple hundred dollars, not so much $1,800. That's more for a whole house treatment. He did mention that, yeah. That's more my understanding from the folks I've talked to in Michigan. That's less common. So it's probably more like $300 or $400 for a typical house. But then you need to put in, you need to check your filters. So with the reverse osmosis, you have to change your filters. It's every 6 months to a year, depending on the filter, and you need to have them maintained to make sure it keeps working.
How many companies right now are authorized or certified to check?
That's a good question. I don't know how many. I do know from Renee Thompson, because when she found this arsenic in her well, she was one of the first people who had really explored that issue 20 years ago. She did tell me that it's gotten much better. So she's found more companies that do a good job at taking the arsenic out, but she does recommend getting it in writing. So let's say you find a company that says they'll take the arsenic out. She says you got to get that in writing that they will, and hold them to it. But she did say that she thinks it's gotten a lot better. I don't know exactly how many companies in Michigan will do it, but I'd imagine it's more common.
Are the companies that do the testing also the companies that will sell you the reverse osmosis?
Well, I don't think so, because okay. What you want to do is have the state of Michigan test your water, or an EPA-certified lab. There's one in Brighton. I know there are others around the state, and we actually have a list on our website Generally, no. The people who test your water are just testing your water.
The geologist from USGS who was with us in Kalamazoo last night, he recommended if you do have arsenic in your water to check your well water yearly. And then also, once you've installed the filters, check the water that's coming out just to be sure. I mean, it's $18 to test the water, so just spend the extra $18, make sure you're getting the arsenic out.
We got a question over there.
I'm a resident of downtown Ann Arbor, and I was wondering if you know what the PPM is of Washtenaw County or Ann Arbor.
What the EPA limit is,
or what the actual PPM is of arsenic in the water in Ann Arbor?
In Ann Arbor, I don't know. I'm not sure.
So each year, public water supplies are supposed to test the water, and you should get a report in your water bill once a year that says what they tested for, and it should show up there. And sometimes it's just a disclaimer at the bottom that says, we tested for everything else, and we're below limits. So I'm not sure if it's a specifically called-out number, or as long as they're below 10, they won't note it on the bill.
They'll usually have that info on the website, too. You just got to kind of dig around for it.
Or if you want to delve into the wonderful world of Freedom of Information Acts, which we're in all the time, you can go that route, too. It is public information. If you ask them, they have to tell you eventually. Any other questions? So, James, what are some of the, in addition to arsenic, what are some of the other threats to water, drinking water specifically, that we face in Michigan?
So in Michigan, usually it's legacy issues from, you know, either old gas stations, old manufacturing facilities where, you know, you go back 50, 60 years, you know, you go to the university and they would be teaching their engineers, yeah, well, if groundwater passes through, you know, 100 yards of sand, it's going to be clean, which, of course, is not true. So what we have is a lot of legacy sites of old contamination that is contaminated aquifers. So many of these are known, and sometimes they have to get people off their public water supply systems. But sometimes there might be newer sites. It might be a leaky underground storage tank from a gas station. The good thing, if there's a good thing about that, is that actually comes with an odor and a taste. So you'll notice if there's hydrocarbons in your well. But many of these contaminants don't have a taste, don't have an odor, and that's where the periodic testing is good practice.
So I just want to ask, so if you send water to the state for arsenic testing, are they going to test for the other things as well? Is it like a complete test, or do you have to say, I want to test it for this and this and this? And is it an additional $18 every time?
Yep, you have to tell them exactly what you want to test for, and my understanding is you have to pay for each individual test. Is that right?
Great.
Question, and I think this came out of either one of your environmental reports or one of the Detroit Journalism Collaborative. Detroit's got a lot of problems. One of the things they're doing in replacing infrastructure and water pipes, and I'm remembering that the can't remember the plumbing term, included lead that was leaching into the water. Is arsenic also a risk for getting into the city water in Detroit?
From old pipes, from leaking, from old infrastructure?
Yeah, depending upon what the nature of the material is that they've used to sweat seal the pipes.
Do you have any idea?
Yeah, so the lead came that they actually used to use lead pipes. So I live in Lansing, so they're still removing the lead pipe that goes from the pipe on the street to the homes. And, you know, about, 7 years ago, they realized there were still 10,000 homes in Lansing that had that lead pipe. So they've been slowly replacing all those lead pipes, and they gave people filters in the meantime. So, you know, that was a big awareness. That was a big risk. There are some other metals in the sweat, you know, in some of the other pipe fittings and things like that. I'm not sure if arsenic is one of those. And again, the lead pipes were the big issue that was impacting drinking water quality.
Arsenic has not been used as something added to anything other than, these herbicides. It's been used in Victorian times. It was used to dye clothing and to dye wallpaper. And people got really sick from their green dresses and from their green wallpaper, so they stopped doing that. It's typically, when it's been used as a poison throughout history, it's been, it's a byproduct of, arsenic is a byproduct of smelting copper. So people have gotten it that way and then used it specifically as a poison. It's been used, I think in the Middle Ages, it was used as a ingredient in makeup because it was thought to clear your skin up. So it's not like lead, which has been used in as an ingredient in so many, gasoline pipes, paint. It's not like that. Although I will say, Graziano, the guy at Columbia who's doing all this research on arsenic, he made his career doing research on lead, and he was one of the researchers who really found and created the body of evidence around lead that led to all the, getting lead out of paint and gasoline in the 70s and 80s. And he thinks arsenic, pound for pound, is a much bigger threat than lead is. We're not as exposed to it.
So, Ben, you mentioned at the beginning of the discussion that people might know arsenic from Game of Thrones, but I think those of us who are maybe my age and older know it from Arsenic and Old Lace with the Cary Grant. But isn't there also a theory about Napoleon dying from arsenic poisoning?
Yeah, so arsenic has traditionally been used as a poison throughout history for the reasons that Rebecca was saying. When you have serious arsenic poisoning, it mimics mostly like cholera or gas, like GI distress, severe GI distress. So you can poison somebody with arsenic, or you could before modern forensic technology, you could poison somebody with arsenic and really get away with it really easily. Because they just seemed like, oh, they ate some bad meat and they died, sad. And so it was used in, there was at least one pope who ascended to the papacy through some assassinations by his children. Why a pope had kids, I don't know, but he did.
We'll do church history another time.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. There was the Roman Emperor Nero, his mother killed her husband and his firstborn son with arsenic so that Nero could become the emperor of Rome. Arsenic has a bit of a sweet taste, and it dissolves very easily in liquids. So you can add it to wine or to juice or anything, and it won't be, it's indetectable. The people in Maine now whose water has high levels of arsenic in it, they think their water tastes really great, because it has sort of a sweetish taste to it from the arsenic, right? So I was used as, so with Napoleon, there's a hypothesis that Napoleon died from arsenic poisoning because the wallpaper in his house down on that island, I forget the name of it, that he was exiled to. Yeah. So the green wallpaper that was used in wet climates, it would grow mold, and when the mold ate the arsenic dye, it would create some sort of, like, it would make an airborne arsenic that people would then inhale. The green dresses, people would sweat, and the arsenic would dissolve into their sweat and then be reabsorbed into their skin. So, very, very, very popular in Victoria, England, because it made, like, really bright-colored green clothing. And there's some fashion historians that we're talking to for a follow-up who will say that green was extremely popular, and it hasn't been nearly as popular since because people died from green. So, and even today, I mean, you look around this room, there are a few people wearing green. No risk to wearing green now. But green is not a very popular color that you see in clothing today.
Yes, a question?
Okay. I want to advise a young couple in Milan who's on well water. And given that you said you have to cite which test you'd like, who could they call to get advice on, in their area, what should be tested in addition to arsenic?
James?
Yeah, I would think that the county health people would probably aware of what they've seen in their community. So that's probably your first best source for information. If I could do a follow-up question, I was looking at some of the maps you did of arsenic around the country, and you notice that some states are really kind of heavy at it, but it it mysteriously stops at the state line. And I wondered how much of that came from just that other states did less testing, may have an arsenic problem, but they don't know it yet.
Absolutely. So the maps that we created was from data by USGS. And there have been some states that have tested very aggressively, Minnesota and Texas. If you look at the map, like Texas is lit up bright red. And then like mysteriously Oklahoma is pretty much like white, no data, right? And it is based on counties testing, but then also state governments taking the results of private tests and releasing that.
So, Ben, when we started, you were telling us about what was going on with the EPA and its potential ability to reduce this standard of 10 parts that we're all operating under now. What are the odds in the next 5 years, despite Congressman Simpson, that this will change? And if it does change, what is the impact of that going to be, either economically on some municipalities or on people who have fixed their wells to the point that they thought were safe, and now here comes better science, perhaps, or at least different science that says, no, you've got to do even more?
So the process that EPA goes through is extensive. What EPA does not do much scientific research itself. What it does is it assembles all the scientific research that's being done, analyzes it, and then comes out with a report. And then that report has to be certified. When that report is certified, then EPA can change the regulation. Okay, so that's the process. And what's happened is every time EPA has gone to reanalyze science, new science on, you know, it's not just arsenic. There's 30-some-odd chemicals that the science says water regulation should be tightened up, and EPA has been unable to complete a scientific review because of the interference from Congressman Simpson directly. He keeps saying what he says is, you know, he cites the cost issue and says if these regulations were to come out, local governments, local people will have to pay a lot of money that they can't afford. And so he keeps interfering with ways for EPA to certify the science. Without certifying the science, they cannot do a single new regulation, not a single new one. So what are the chances that this is going to change? You know, it's hard to say. President Obama came into office in his campaign 2008, you may remember. Let's take the politics out of science. Let's depoliticize science. And it looked like they were going to be able to. This process was moving forward. When the Republicans came in and took over Congress in 2010, all that stopped. That said, EPA is not required to follow this paragraph that Mike Simpson inserted. They could go ahead and certify the science. They worry. What makes Mike Simpson so powerful is that he's the head of a subcommittee of the Appropriations Committee that governs EPA's funding, right? And so they're worried if they don't do what he says, they're going to cut off all their funding. And he may well, right? But they don't have to do it. They do it.
So you'll forgive me for being a cynical news person, but where does his campaign contributions come from?
Here's the shocking part about this story to me. So this particular paragraph was inserted at the behest of a lobbyist named Charlie Grizzle, who was hired by these two pesticide companies or herbicide companies that make this herbicide with arsenic. He donated a total of $7,000 to Mike Simpson's campaign. $7,000 is what got this paragraph inserted. $7,000 is what's prevented EPA from certifying the science. It's such a paltry amount of money. I
mean, you can't run for city council here for $7,000.
This is what we see happening time and time again. You know, it's not like millions of dollars. It's not like these congressmen are getting paid like millions of dollars to do this. It's small sums that all add up and equal one little paragraph attached to a bill, and that ends up having such a huge effect. And the EPA regulations, I mean, Rebecca was saying last night, the state of Michigan looks to EPA, right? And this happens all over in every single state and every single municipality. Unless EPA lowers their standards, the states say, hey, it's done. What do we need to do here? EPA certifies this science.
And the one exception would be New Jersey. New Jersey has its own state limit of 5. but that's the only state that does.
Yeah, and I'll say Naples, Florida as well.
James, what would a level of 5 do to county health systems around the state? Would that have a big effect on them or not? If the EPA were to go ahead and reduce that level from 10 to 5?
Well, for the county health departments, you know, that's only, again, the private wells. So the big impact is the public water supply systems. And that's what they worry about politically, is that those thousands of public water supply systems around the country and the money they would have to spend and kind of the fallout from that. You know, the counties would then just look at reports that they do on testing wells, and what you would find is more and more wells would kind of test as too high for arsenic. They would be recommending more, you know, treatment systems. But, you know, if that's for us, it's the public health issue. You know, it's the avoided health care cost that you're striving to achieve.
Well, I'd like to jump in. We actually asked the DEQ about that and asked them, if the standard were lowered, would it be a big deal for these city systems that have already put in treatment? And what the DEQ official told us was that actually, no, it wouldn't be a big extra cost because most cities are already treating well below 10. So most places, the levels are more like 5 or 2 already, especially for these bigger systems.
So then for private wells, it might not be that big of a difference, more for municipal wells or I guess for these herbicide companies. So if people that are here or people who go to our website and read these stories, if they want to do something about it, where is the point of activism? Is it writing to the EPA? Is it writing to Simpson? Is it contacting their county health department or their representative in the state legislature? If there's something that they want changed to deal or improve the system, what's the best avenue to go?
Yeah, I think the starting point in this one is the federal standard. You know, I think changing the federal standard, getting the EPA to act. So, you know, again, contacting federal Congress, U.S. senators saying, hey, we want to see movement on this issue. It's time to protect public health. That is the kind of the uniform change that could change things, you know, across the country. Unfortunately, in Michigan, it comes to herbicides. Local units of government can't do anything. They can't ban a herbicide in Michigan. It is a state function, and they're basically, they can do it, but they have to jump through all sorts of hoops and get the Ag Commission to agree to it. So the change that is going to kind of impact the most number of people is that change in the federal rule.
You guys both agree with that? Okay. Any other questions from the audience? Well, while you're possibly thinking of one, I'm going to tell you that we have the Center for Investigative Reporting and the Reveal folks have put together a survey about this issue and would like your information and to know what you know about it. And it is on our website. And Mark, it went up today. And do you want to just tell people a little bit about what they'll find there and why it's, or Cole, you could do this if you'd like, what they'll find there and why we'd like them to go to the website and fill this out.
Yes, so this is a post that we did about testing your well for arsenic. So it was just a kind of a how-to test your well for arsenic. I know there aren't a lot of people in here who have wells and we'd be testing, but we would like to know your kind of attitude about arsenic. And if you go to our website, in the upper left corner, there is a post called Here's How to Test Your Well for Arsenic. If you go into that post, there's a form that the Center for Investigative Reporting put together, and we would like your input on that form, which basically asks you about your attitude about arsenic in drinking water and what your experience may be with testing your well and how your well has tested if you have one. So share that with your friends. If you know anybody on a well, share that link around. We'd love their input on what their experience has been with their well.
And if you want to know about the... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, another question? Okay, I'll get you just a second. We'll wrap up this, with the half this advertisement. If you want to know what the power of the media, we also found out from David that some of the information that we put together in this series may be discussed in some congressional testimony next week. So a lot of this has actually been... No, what comes of that, we'll see. But at least the information is going to be heard. So, yes, sir, in the back.
All right, I've committed. Is there, like, a specific Michigan congressman or woman or, like, senator that we should write to in regards to this issue if it's something that concerns us?
Yeah, the best thing is to go to your congressperson, in this case, John Dingell, if you live in this area. Again, he's still there. He's still powerful. You know, and I think, you know, him adding his voice to this would be impactful.
And it's quite possible that next year you can just still use the same last name. We'll see what happens. It'll still be Congressperson Dingell. Seeing no other questions out there, then go ahead, ask your question. You have a question? Don't be shy. Because if not, I'm gonna ask for their closing statement. So you can get it in now.
I want to know what the pesticide companies are that are funding Simpson.
Good question. One I know is called Drexel Pommel. They're an Israeli company that markets this herbicide. The other, I can look it up in the story. I just can't remember the name right now. But they're two.
What's it? MS.
That's the name of the
name,
chemical.
The name of the herbicide, that's the chemical. It's not anything that you can buy in Home Depot. It's fair. Sorry? I don't think so.
But it's industrial, so yeah, like Ben says, it's not something that you could buy and use on your garden. It's not Roundup or anything like that. Well, then, closing statements. Wrap this up for us. What are some final thoughts that you'd like people to take with them about this issue? Rebecca, let's start with you.
I mean, so I think that one of the things that really struck me was from the woman I interviewed whose family was poisoned by arsenic. And I think there's, when you hear something like this, it's just easy to be afraid, right? So it just sounds really scary. And I said, what's your advice to people? You've been through this thing that was really pretty terrible. And, you know, she's still on a well out in the country in Michigan, and she treats her water and she makes coffee with it, and she drinks it every day, and they shower in their water. And she, you know, she feels confident that they're taking the arsenic out. And she said, just to me, she said, the most important thing is that you can do something about this. You can test your water. It's cheap to do that. It's relatively affordable to treat it. It's not affordable for everybody. And she does think there should be assistance to help people treat their water. But she said the main thing for her was just not to be afraid. You can do something about it. And I think that's what really I took away from this.
And Ben?
Yeah, for us at the Center for Investigative Reporting, we really see this as a political corruption issue. And the fact that this congressman has done so much harm for so little money is very, very shocking to us. And, you know, it's the old, you know, it's almost like an old saw at this point, right? Like, everybody in Congress is bought and paid for, but for us, the more we can get this information out and the more that we can let people know, like, hey, you know, this isn't like a huge amount of money, you guys. Like, this is something that we all need to we need to talk to our Congress people about, and we need to let them know, you know, how many letters equal $7,000? I'm going to guess not very many, you know.
And James, the last word.
Yeah, so we at the Michigan Environmental Council kind of look at the variety of these issues that are impacting Michigan's water, you know, and we think about, you know, we're trying to sell this pure Michigan idea, and we always ask the question, okay, what are we doing to protect the product? So we're going to engage, and actually we're designing for next year, kind of a community engagement that says, you know, get to know your groundwater, you know, figure out where is it? You know, what layers is it in? What's in it? You know, what are the threats? I mean, we know in Michigan there's 7,000 leaking underground storage tanks, a very small number that we've actually kind of investigated to figure out, are they a threat to the drinking water? We just looked at 200 last year, and about 10% of those were a real threat where immediate action had to be taken on those sites. And you look at 7,000 sites, that means there's 700 places in Michigan that we should be doing something today to protect groundwater. So we're going to engage local units of government, you know, government officials, citizens to say, you know, kind of band together, because it's kind of up to us, you know, as the front line to make sure that we're protected, our families are protected, and our communities are good places to live in the future.
Well, join me in thanking our panelists for sharing the information that they have tonight. Thank you as well for coming. And we're ending a few minutes early, so we'll stick around. If you have any questions, we're happy to answer them. If you want to ask Rebecca something about the environment report, or you want to ask me something about Michigan Radio, I'm happy to answer any of those questions. They don't have to be about arsenic or on this topic. And I'm sure that Ben and James would feel the same way about their areas of expertise. We're happy to talk with anybody about the topics. Have some more beer. Promise you there's not too much arsenic in it. And again, thanks for coming out tonight.